Well, I also checked the Schweitzer NOAA report today, and they have a substantial amount of snow in the report. So, okay. Yeah.
Are they now? Do they have any on the ground yet?
That's the hope.
Yeah. They're getting some, I guess. This weather pattern should, I guess, benefit them, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. And they could use it. Okay, let's do a couple of other items to draw your attention to, some programming notes. First of all, if you tuned in last night for Know Your States, Know Your Community, you were treated to, we made an error. Instead of doing California and Colorado, we rebroadcast Arizona and Arkansas, which was a mistake. That is not what was scheduled. And so we're going to remedy that by playing, tonight we'll play we'll play California and Colorado. So tune in at 9 o'clock tonight for Know Your States, Know Your Community, where we will be talking to, Brad Huta is, I believe, our Coloradoan, and our own Scott McLongstreet talking about California. That's tonight at 9 o'clock, and that'll be posted on the website as well.
So what's the scope of their conversation?
We talk about where they're from.
Oh.
Pretty much. Everybody's from somewhere, Carrie.
Correctamundo.
So it's people who are in our community now, or members of the kind of the KRFY community, who come from someplace else.
Huh.
Yeah.
Have we got all the states covered?
All covered.
Wow.
50 states, yes.
Wow. That's impressive.
I think the ones we struggled with, a few of them, 45 of them were solid, easy to find. And then, there were some
like
stragglers.
Nebraska or Mississippi or
Nebraska and Mississippi were both easy ones.
Really?
Alabama was difficult.
I see.
Delaware was difficult. We had to call someone who currently lives in Delaware, who did live here in Sandpoint for like 20 years, and who now has moved back to Delaware. We had to get them on the phone.
Huh.
But we got them all. Everybody's all 50 states.
Wow.
Right here in North Idaho.
Very good.
Yeah, pretty cool. So tune in for that. We're talking to they're interesting conversations. Find out where your neighbors are from. How about this? Have you noticed that right before the beginning of the morning show, we get an avalanche report from the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche
Center? I did hear that.
That is going to be continuing. I think the new ones, they don't put out 7 new ones a week. So this one actually came out yesterday and is the same as you would have heard yesterday. But they put out new ones Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. So Tuesday and Thursday are
those are
reruns.
Important to have around this area.
It is, yeah, especially it hasn't been yet, with the weather we've had, but it's about to be. So yeah, those will be good to keep track of. You can tune in right at 8 o'clock for that, right before the morning show, and that will continue through the avalanche season.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I have an important announcement today.
Go ahead.
So today, December 18th. Is my daughter-in-law Jen's birthday.
All right.
She's not 60 yet. I'm not going to say how old she is. But Jen, I hope you have a wonderful birthday and listen to lots of music that you love. And we'll see you Saturday night for dinner.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Yeah.
Okay. And we got, what are you getting her for her birthday, Carrie?
Dinner.
Dinner. Okay. Well, how about this? If she's a community radio listener and you think she deserves a special gift for her birthday, have you considered getting her a brand new KRFY t-shirt?
I did not think of that.
Well,
do we have them available?
Again, in all sizes, for men and women, available in classic KRFY black and now a flattering charcoal gray.
Excellent.
Yes. These locally designed and printed items are a welcomed addition to any holiday stocking and can be yours for just $25. You can call the station here at 208-265-2992, place your order, or send an email to carefyradio@gmail.com. I will not be answering the phone. If you call right now, you'll have to leave a voicemail, but we'll get back to you. Or just come up to the station, too. Donation of $25 gets you a t-shirt. And pint glasses also are available.
Oh, pint glasses.
With the
always
little
good.
KRFY logo on it. Okay, we're rerunning the KRFY Holiday Spectacular on Saturday, December 20th at 7 p.m. and on Christmas Eve, December 24th at 6 p.m. So you can tune in and catch that if you missed it the first time. There's more special holiday programming coming up tonight. Julie Prochinski and Pam Duquette at 5 o'clock are going to be here in the studio with an assortment of wacky holiday tunes that you probably have not heard before. So
fun.
Yeah, there you go. Live in the studio, they'll be spinning some tunes that we had to track down. Had to really go into the archives for some of these, but they're, yeah, it's fun.
Also, starting at 5 today over at Cedar Street Bridge, there's a small group of Christmas carolers who are going to show up and maybe stroll around town. Maybe we should have them come up here and sing a song.
I think that's an excellent idea. Okay, I'll tell Julie and Pam. Yep. We'll see about that. And Christmas Carl is back in town, and he will be playing his Christmas mix on Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock. So 4 to 6, Christmas Carl's Christmas show. That's actually Terry Nobody, also from The Beast and the Priest. And then it'll be the Holiday Spectacular from 6 to 8. And then another Know Your States, Know Your Community at 8 o'clock to 9. 9 o'clock, we got a special holiday tribute show. There's a lot of holiday programming coming up.
And it's a lot of original programming. It isn't like you're getting it from the net.
That's right.
Nope. Excellent.
All of it locally produced. Okay. Well, this is, I lack a segue here, Carrie. We're here in the studio with...
Well, there is a Christmas fundraiser going on at some place that we know called Sassy.
Yes.
It's also their name.
Yeah. Sassy is the Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc. Incorporated. And Sassy is the umbrella organization that runs the Sandpoint Senior Center. And we're here in the studio with Jesse Vachon, the operations manager, and Elizabeth Nelson, who's a board member. Elizabeth, are you the newest board member for Sassy?
I believe I'm one of three new board members.
Okay. How long have you been on the board?
I was asked in August. Mm-hmm. I ran, we had elections in September, and I was voted in and sworn in September.
Okay.
So what motivated you to say, yes, I'll run for the board?
So I... know somebody that is also on the board, and she knew that I was looking to be more involved in our community.
Oh.
And I enjoy helping out and volunteering where I can, so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, good. Okay. How's it been for these 3 months? Yeah.
I feel like it's been really good. I'm really excited about our Dish Up community campaign. We are fundraising campaign we are in right now. I feel like we have seen a lot of success. We are a working board also, so all of our members that have, you know, put the time, extra time in to help spread the word and has gone, I feel we've banded together very well.
So give us some details on Dish Up community.
Yeah. So we have, I would like, actually, I'll take a moment and thank our sponsors. We have Keating Jones Hughes, the Co-op, Mountain West Bank, Winter Ridge, 113 Main, Apex Construction, Cochava, VCA North Idaho Animal Hospital, and Sandpoint Superdrug. And our donations, the dollar amount breakdown that we have, $600 will sponsor 100 meals, $1,200 will sponsor 200 meals, and $1,800 will sponsor 300 meals.
Is that for a year?
Yes.
That's ongoing.
Yeah. our goal is $90,000. We started our campaign right November 1st, and we are up to $91,655. Hey. So that is amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. I'd like to see that keep going. I'd love to surpass our goal and keep doing the wonderful things that we're able to do for our senior community and the meals that we provide, which Jesse will talk more in detail on.
What is it? I guess what are there events coming up for the, you know, for your fundraiser, for the Dish Up Community fundraiser? Special dates, special, I mean, times or things that people should be putting on their calendar or doing?
No, I don't know. No. We did have some where we did our turkey bingo in November. And we did just have a Christmas concert that was a fundraising event.
Yeah.
But we, I guess I can, if you're okay, Jesse, I'll plug our, we're looking also currently for a development director that can kind of help spearhead our fundraising efforts and campaigns. So if you guys know anybody, send them down.
Okay. Send them down to Sassy. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Well, what is this? Has this been, has Dish Up Community kind of been your main focus as a board member for these past couple of months? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the experience been of being on the board? Has anything surprised you about, you know, compared to what you went in with, what your expectations were?
No, but I went in pretty open and I just was like, where, you know, what help can I aid in, right? Mm-hmm. So no, I think it's been really good. One of the first things I was able to do was help at there's a monthly fundraising breakfast. And I volunteered to help with that and just be there with the community that is there for that breakfast. And that was such a good time. I had a blast and I just am here to see what little difference I can help make.
So to raise this money, do you just contact businesses, individuals directly? That's how you're doing it. There isn't like Jack was asking, like a specific event where people come and you know, raise their hand and say, I'll donate this month. So it's an outreach effort by the board to the community in terms of contacting businesses and individuals and organizations and that kind of thing. Okay.
We did a letter writing campaign, which was very successful. That had a lot to do with how quickly the fundraiser has grown.
Okay.
And the board works really hard on this. They're out in the community all the time.
Okay.
Spreading our message and soliciting funds. They work really hard.
So how many people use the senior center on it? I don't know what your statistics are on it. Non-duplicated annual basis or monthly, or how you keep
your stats.
I can give
you some numbers on that.
I would love some numbers.
So, and I usually talk in terms of meals that we have served.
Okay.
Our main mission at Sassy is to feed people, but we also provide a space for socialization and creating a community.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as meals go, we served 18,000 meals last year, and we're on track to do the same this year. So what that looks like, on a weekly basis, we send out 140 frozen meals a week. We served or sent out 160 fresh meals a week on our home delivered route. And then we serve about 135, 140 people in-house every week. So that's kind of what that looks like. 18,000 meals. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. And so the frozen meals are to get people through the weekend, or what are the frozen meals for?
We have different types of routes. So we have two daily routes that get our fresh meals Monday through Friday. And then we have a couple of routes that are once a week. So Sagal gets meals once a week. They get five frozen meals and two fresh ones.
Okay.
So it carries them through the week.
Okay, so it's more fresh meals come closer in. Closer into Sandpoint proper and frozen meals in the outlying areas?
Yes. Okay. And we have a pickup service also, because there's a lot of people that aren't able to deliver on a route. So we have pickup service, and it's loved ones or caregivers that are coming in and picking up meals once a week for that. And something that I think is really exciting, we just signed on Priest River as an additional route. So that's going to be a weekly
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's almost 30 people on that route that we're going to be serving.
Huh. Don't they have a senior center over there?
They do, but they don't have a meal program.
I see. Hmm. So how do you, besides the fundraising that you're doing, how is the meal program financially enabled?
We have about a third of each meal that is actually funded by Area Agency on Aging. Oh, okay. And then the rest we fundraise. So we do ask for donations on a daily basis when people come in for lunch. If they're 60 and over, we ask if they're able to donate $7 towards their meal. And if they're under 60, because our lunches are open to everybody, anybody in the community can come. But if you're under 60 and you're not part of the meal program, then it's a $10 fee for lunch, which that gets you a great lunch. We have a great chef, and it's probably the best meal you can get in Sandpoint for $10.
And lunch is what time?
Lunch is at 11:30, okay. Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. You do have to make reservations by 9:30 the morning of. We have a really fun lunch today. It's our Christmas lunch, and we're going to be serving about 80 people today. And reservations filled up a week ago for that.
So. Oh, okay. So people can't eat. If they want to go, they can't today. Unfortunately,
the house is full.
The table is full.
I was going to try and say, get your ugly sweaters out because, Jesse, you're wearing one right now. Right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of a cute sweater.
I think it is,
It is a cute sweater. Yeah, I wouldn't call that ugly.
No, I couldn't go full ugly.
I wouldn't either. No, that's a nice sweater. But that's the...
The dinner today, indeed. Roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, seasoned vegetables, tossed salad.
Mm.
Pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Very nutritious.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Next week's taco bar on Tuesday.
Yeah. are you guys, I'm guessing you're closed on Christmas Eve and day, or what's the holiday schedule?
We are closed on December 25th and 26th, and then also January 1st and 2nd.
Oh, okay. But open on the 24th?
Open on the 24th. We're going to be delivering our meals as usual on 24th mm-hmm. and on the 31st. So mm-hmm. yeah. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks for us because we do make up for those meals when we're closed. We do send out extra meals on our home delivered route, so they get twice as much to cover them over the holiday.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's smart.
Yeah. It's a little extra work, but, we have some very deserving people that we serve, so, and we're happy to do it.
Yeah.
So one of my friends goes over to, and Mark, I think you're listening, goes over to the senior center and plays pool.
Oh, yeah. We love Mark.
Because he says it's the best pool table in town, for one thing.
Well, and, it probably is. If I could play pool, I could attest to that, but I cannot.
And what else? He's invited my husband, and my husband has attended some of the music programs you've had where that lady comes and talks about, she talked about Chris Christopherson one time
once a month. And she has been unable to do that this year.
Oh.
But it's a musical history program. Uh-huh. And she is so much fun because she plays the music and she tells you the life story of whichever musician that she has chosen. And it's been great. And we're sad that that's not going to be able to continue. I think she's getting a degree. So she's going to school.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Hmm. So... anyway, I just thought that was a nice addition to your programming over there.
Yeah. I think you said before, but you think is the most important thing the Senior Center does that meal program? Is that kind of your focus, do you think?
That's a huge part of our focus.
Yeah.
But like I said, we also have a community space. Mm-hmm. Social isolation can be a definite issue in this population. So... I think we do a really good job of having a space where people mm-hmm. can come and sit and talk to friends. And we have exercise classes that we offer twice a week. We have bunco and bridge and pinochle groups that come in. We have a felting class once a month, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. Art classes once a week. So lots of opportunities for people to gather other than just our lunches.
Yeah. What's the most popular one of your programs? What do you always get a good turnout for?
Fit and Fall Proof is really popular. We'll have
Fit
and Fall Proof.
Okay.
It is Mondays and Thursdays at 3:00. Uh-huh. And, sometimes it's a small group. Sometimes there's 40 people there. So it's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great program. It really helps with flexibility and stability, and it's a fun group.
Yeah. This is like an exercise kind of aerobics type?
It is. Yeah. And they have different things they use, like weighted balls, and they use the chairs to help with the different kinds of exercises. So it's a group exercise platform. But
balance becomes an issue as you get older.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, cool program. No, that part's not cool.
Because fall is the big, right. The biggie. Yeah, the program fall prevention.
Is nice. We are talking to Jesse Vacheron and Elizabeth Nelson from the Sandpoint Senior Center, SASE, the Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated. Let's see. Is this the Dish Up Community Fundraiser? Is this the first time you've done this particular fundraiser? Or a fundraiser like this? Is this has this been a perennial thing? Is this every year you're doing some kind of winter fundraiser?
We have different name for it. Yeah. Usually every year it changes, but we do have a fall fundraiser, and we typically also have a spring fundraiser. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to look very similar to the one that we're doing right now, but. Mm-hmm. That's one reason we need a development director. We would love someone to spearhead some events and our fundraising. So,
and you probably would be hopeful to have some kind of sustainable funding where people like the radio station does. Mm-hmm. You have people that contribute on a regular monthly basis so that's predictable and money's coming in.
Yes, predictability would be a wonderful thing to have for our fundraising efforts, for sure. And the board does work really hard, but we, you know, it would be really beneficial to us to have someone that was specifically out in the community. I try, but I'm also managing the operations, and I'm running the meal program, so I'm stretched a little bit thin, but I try to get out whenever I can. And the board, like I said, they are always out in the community as much as possible, which has been fantastic.
So the senior center has a building next to it that used to be used for respite care. Is that program still operational?
It is not, unfortunately. We still have the building, and it is available for rent for events and that type of thing. I think it'd be a great place to have a birthday party if your house isn't quite big enough. It's a very nice little space right there. And we're looking for additional uses for that also.
So what? This is a building. How big is this building?
It's a two-bedroom manufactured home type.
Yeah, probably 1,000 square feet, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, and with a large living room and kitchen.
And it's not in use right now?
Regularly, no.
No, or it's available for rent, but you don't have
have someone in the building right now.
Yeah.
The way that we're zoned, I believe, is the issue with that. It has to be for a specific person. If we were to rent it to a group that would be in there regularly. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of be careful how we use it. But
yeah.
Because your property is owned by the city.
It is. Building. Yeah. The Daybreak Center, which is the one you're talking about. Thank you. That one belongs to SASE, I believe. But the building that we are in is the city's.
Yeah.
Oh, the building as well, not just the land.
The
that
building
it's on,
and the land.
The building is officially city property.
It is, yes.
Okay. Does that make, does that complicate things for, you know, if you want to make changes to the building, if there's something new that you need or anything like that, do you need to coordinate with the city to get that done? Or do you pretty much have free rein over what happens on that property?
To a certain extent, we do need city approval for certain things, but we are responsible for all the maintenance and upkeep for the property in exchange for a very, very, very reasonable rent.
Yeah.
I think it's $1 a year.
Yeah.
So we take care of everything that has to do with the building. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we really need to work on right now is our electrical system. It's very outdated. Mm. We cannot plug in one more thing in that building without constantly having to flip breakers, which I've been doing because of our coffee machine this week. So we are actively seeking an electrician to come in and give us a quote for that. If there's any electricians out there.
So say any electricians, come see Jesse, please.
Please. I would love to have a conversation.
Okay. You need some electrical work in the senior center.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. We have talked about the meal program and dishing up community. We'd like to talk to Jesse, I think, a little bit more about what the 9 months on the job have been like and how things have changed. Should we pause here and take a brief musical interlude, and we'll be right back? All right. You know whose birthday it is? Now, I told you already, didn't I? Yeah.
Yes, you told me.
It's Keith Richards' birthday.
Jen and Keith.
Yeah. And so we have, it's a happy birthday to Keith Richards. This is, if he was born in 1943, that means.
He's 82.
82. He's 82 today. And.
still rocking.
Still, indeed. In 1972, the Rolling Stones put out maybe their best record, Exile on Main Street. And this is a song that, one of the rare Stone songs that features Keith on lead vocals. This is Happy from Exile on Main Street. The Rolling Stones, this one, I believe also, this is primarily, you might as well just call it a Keith Richards song. I think he did most of the playing, singing, writing, all of it. But it's credited to the Stones, and it's Happy Birthday to Keith Richards. The Rolling Stones with Happy. It's Keith Richards' birthday, and you are listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's Thursday, December 18th. I'm Jack Peterson here with Carrie Logan, and we're talking to Jesse Vachon, operations manager for the Sandpoint Senior Center, and Elizabeth Nelson, a member of the board of Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated. Jesse, you've been on the job for about 9 months.
That's right. I've been operations manager since August, but I was I first started as the meal coordinator for the home delivered meals program.
Okay. So you got involved, and were you involved at all before then, or that was, so 9 months ago is when you first started, kind of. Okay. And only since August, so only, I mean, less than half a year, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, just a few months.
Just a few months. How would you characterize these 9 months that you've been involved in the senior center? Obviously, I mean, you seem to be taking to it because you've advanced from meal coordinator to general operations manager. So,
I think that definitely had a lot to do with our executive director left us for her dream job in Montana,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good fit. And mm-hmm. it's been great. We have a really good crew of employees that are there at SASE. And so they make it pretty easy on me. It has been a busy few months, especially the last few weeks with our programming that we've done, the concert, the fundraiser, mm-hmm. Just our daily meals we've had. Well, we're expecting 80 people today.
Yeah.
So our Thanksgiving meal was also a big, big meal that we did. Another 80 people that day. But it's been really great. I love the people I work with. We have some amazing volunteers. They put in about 200 hours a month. And we literally could not run without our volunteers. We have drivers that go out every day for the delivery route. We have volunteers in the dining room that help immensely. We have kitchen volunteers. We have people that will come in and tidy up the grounds. It's just an amazing volunteer force that we have. And I'm grateful for, every day
mm-hmm.
that they come in and show up for us.
How many people are on staff, and how many volunteers do you have?
We have 8 people on staff, and we have 98 volunteers, but about 45 of them, about half of them are very active on a daily basis or weekly basis. So it's a big crew.
So do you think your meal program is at capacity, or do you do outreach to increase your consumer base?
I don't know that we will ever be at capacity. We're just going to keep cooking and keep sending out meals. Expanding into Priest River has been that's a pretty big expansion for us. It's that one weekly route is the same as we do daily for Sandpoint and Kootenai, Ponderay area. So as long as we have freezer space, we can keep growing.
When was the Priest River expansion again? When did you add that?
In the middle of it. We're going to be starting that. My goal date is February. Mm-hmm. We're just waiting on approval from Area Agency on Aging and tying up a couple loose ends for that. But we have our volunteers in place in Priest River to start delivery as soon as we start getting them meals.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We've been working on this for, I would say, about a year and a half.
It takes a while to get this thing, or to get projects like this implemented.
It does, especially when we're relying so heavily on volunteers.
Yeah.
And they're in another town, and there's a lot of coordinating to be done. And we did lose our executive director in the middle of that. So being able to pick that up again and actually get it done has been great.
So do you do outreach or education with like doctor offices or public health department or anybody to know what your services are? And also, is Bonner General possibly I don't know exactly. I'm thinking that, you know, their interest in community health would translate somehow or another into financial support of the senior meals program. I don't know where I'm going with that. Just throwing that out there.
I actually have a good friend that works at BGH who is in charge of that type of thing. So I've been talking with her, and I am really looking forward to collaborating in the new year and see what we can come up with for that. I think we have a lot of potential for some great programs with that collaboration.
Yeah, focusing on the whole food insecurity thing.
And we do get a lot of referrals from hospice or caregivers that that they already know about our services. So we do try to get the word out as much as possible. One really great thing about our meal program is it's not income-based, it's need-based. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps us to reach a lot more people.
Right.
Because it opens up the whole thing. So, I think a lot of people think that it's income-based, but it's not. And because there's a lot of people that are in this community that maybe don't have friends or family that can help cook for them or check on them or take care of them. And that's the gap that we fill.
The lunch program, the in-person, the sit-down lunch program, your capacity is 80. You're at that for today.
We are.
And you were at that for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What's the usual turnout for that?
It depends on what's being served. Sometimes we'll have 20 people and sometimes we'll have 40.
Yeah.
I would say we hit 40 on a regular basis. And 80 is a lot for us. That's primarily on special occasions, the holiday dinners that we do.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, because I don't know if I'd have the energy to stand here and talk with you.
Yeah. But is turnout kind of, are people coming out to that more, less, holding steady? What's it, how active are the clientele of the senior center who do come in, go to the meals and stuff? Is there, do you find that that's on the upswing or kind of down or right where you'd expect?
I think we have had an upswing. I think it has a lot to do with grocery prices being what they are. But we have definitely seen more people on a regular basis and adding more people to our routes for sure. We have probably 30 core regulars that come in almost every day. One of the great things I think about this community at lunch is the friendships that you see building in our lunchroom every day. And it's been really great because they will check on each other. If somebody is expected for lunch and they don't show up, I guarantee I will have multiple people asking me if I've talked to them. Did we call them? Are they okay? Or if somebody's having a bad day, the way that they rally around each other and just uplift with, you know, support and love is really wonderful to see that. I think it's a huge benefit of having a space for people to gather.
So the people who don't have transportation to get themselves to the center, how many use the spot bus? Isn't there a stop right outside your building?
We do have a stop outside our building, but we have several guests that actually schedule the spot bus to pick them up and drop them off with us. And that's daily, pretty much daily. We have people come in on the spot bus for that. And you can call them and make reservations, and they'll pick you up, I think, at your door and drop you off at our door. And then they'll come back about an hour, an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's actually been great. And we do have people that get rides, too. And we have a couple of drivers who will offer rides also for people.
Oh.
Well, that's very that's convenient.
It's that's handy. Nice.
Yeah, that's cool that you can, I guess, put the spot bus to use like that. Very nice. Let's see. Do you got any other events coming up? Any besides Ugly Sweater Day? Anything you want to let people know? I guess outside of, or maybe including your regular events.
Well, we have Old Time Fiddlers that are at the center the first Saturday of every month. That's a really fun group that everybody is welcome to. We also have Bingo, which is the last Saturday of the month. That doors open at 12:30 for that. That's a pretty fun activity for people. Like I said, we have our Fit and Fall Proof. That's Mondays and Thursdays. Then we have... Bunko is Mondays, Bridge is Tuesdays, and Pinnacle is Wednesdays. And you can call the center. They have we have people that coordinate for those groups, and we can put you in touch with that if anybody wants to join any of those groups. We also are planning a bridge lessons for people that might be interested in doing bridge, and you can call and sign up for that. I'm not sure. That's kind of a tentative program. We're not. We don't have it finalized. We want to see what the interest is for that.
Okay. Do you have to be a senior to learn how to play bridge at the senior center?
You know, I don't think so. I saw someone in there. He looked like he was in his 20s. So I'm pretty sure you don't have to be a senior. And for some of our programs, you do. They do want people that are 16 over. But some of them, anybody can come in and participate. So it's always worth a call if you see something fun on the calendar.
Well, that instruction is an unmet need because Mary Fox did it for years through Sandpoint Parks and Rec.
Bridge instruction.
Yep. She taught bridge. She taught beginning and an intermediate, I think. And she did that for years and years and years. And then the city, of course, isn't doing anything recreation-wise.
Yeah.
And...
I think she's part of the bridge group right now.
Mary is?
She is.
Oh, is she wearing her hats?
She's wearing
her
hats.
Has she done a whole hat program for you guys?
She did for, it was last year, I think it was Mother's Day, maybe, or around Mother's Day. It was fantastic seeing all the hats. It was really fun.
Do you know who Mary is?
I don't. No, you have to tell us who's Mary Fox and what. How many hats
Mary
does
Fox
she have?
Is Mary Fox. And she probably has a house full of. She could probably fill that old Daybreak Center with her hats. She always has a hat on.
Okay.
Even when she's out walking or whatever, she has a hat. She has great hats too. Beautiful.
They're wonderful. Yeah. Fun hats.
And I'm going to go, and maybe she'll teach me how to play bridge.
Oh,
at
there
the senior
you go.
Center. Okay. Tuesdays at 12:30.
She's a very good teacher.
Like. Okay. I've always wanted to play bridge.
Have you?
I've tried a little bit. Yeah. I like the bridge derivative games. I know a few of them, but I've never gone
like
all the way
on
bridge.
What is that?
Like 500 is, I think, in that family. Euchre. Oh. You know, those kind of family of games where you have a four players, you have a partner, and that kind of thing. I like those games, but I've never taken the plunge and played bridge. Okay. Well, we're talking to Jesse Vachon and Elizabeth Nelson about the Sandpoint Senior Center. Jesse's the operations manager, and Elizabeth is a board member. The big change, I guess, is this, the Priest River addition, the addition of the meal service to Priest River. Anything else kind of on the horizon? Anything you guys are looking at developing, making changes, anything like that at the Senior Center?
Not that I can think of right now.
Nothing ready for broadcast anyway?
Nothing ready for broadcast. Okay. I think one thing that I should mention, though, is we do have a medical equipment closet that is free for people to come in and check out.
Yeah.
And we have knee scooters and wheelchairs and walkers and a whole garage full of all different types of medical equipment, which is fantastic that we're able to lend those out to the community. And it's a busy, it's a very busy program.
Yeah. Do you notice how busy you are? Not necessarily, I mean, the meal program too, the deliveries too, but particularly like how busy it is in the center. Does it pick up around the holidays? Do you feel like there's more people coming in, you know, looking for that community? Or are there other times of year where it does get busier? Does it ebb and flow with the, you know, with the change of seasons at all?
I think it does ebb and flow for sure. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of snowbirds. So summertime,
It
really picks up and our numbers definitely expand because people come from all over the place back to where when it's warm in Sandpoint again, which I actually probably didn't need to leave this year. But
it has been a little unseasonable.
Tropical.
Hey, that's going to change. At least according to the forecast that I read earlier. What haven't we talked about yet at the Senior Center, if anything?
I think we did a pretty good job hitting all of the highlights.
I think so too.
And we definitely appreciate your time and having us on today.
Well, nice job getting through all that important business. And congratulations on the Dish Up Community campaign being such a success. It is ongoing. Mm-hmm.
Through December 31st.
Yeah. Okay. And people can, once again, the details on how people can get involved with that, how people can donate for Dish Up Community.
Yeah. So you could go to our website for the Sandpoint Seniors Inc. We have our poster on there. There's a kind of gives options if you'd like to donate, and any amount is very appreciated. And you can scan a QR code that would take you to a way to donate. You could send checks to Sandpoint Area Seniors Inc. You could also come and check out the facilities and check out the calendar and donate that way as well.
And you've got I'm looking at that website right now. It's been busy.
What's the URL on that?
sandpointareaseniors.org looks like the website. Congratulations again on that that successful fundraising campaign and on all the work you do with food insecurity and also just with kind of combating loneliness that I think is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it time for another song, do you suppose? Wrap things up? Okay. If you go back 50 years ago today and look at the top of the pop charts, you will find a couple of things. You'll find here in the United States, the number one record was a song I'm not going to play. It's called Fly Robin Fly, a disco song by Silver Convention. Da, 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 da. Up into the sky. It's kind of a, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Playing would be better than your singing, but anyway.
If you go over to Australia, ABBA was at the top of the charts with Mamma Mia. In Canada, Casey and the Sunshine Band were at number one 50 years ago with That's the Way I Like It. And in the UK, the song we're going to play is by Queen. And this was at number one on the UK pop charts on December 18, 1975, 50 years ago today, at the time, the most expensive single ever made. The members of the band sang their vocal parts continually for 10 to 12 hours a day and eventually became the UK's third best-selling single of all time. Here's Queen with... Hold on. Here, as I say, is Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy, because I'm easy come, easy go.
Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson here with Kerry Logan. We just said good morning, adios, to Jesse Vachon and Elizabeth Nelson from the Sandpoint Area Senior Center. Nice to talk to them this morning.
Very nice.
And nice to have you here with us as well, Kerry.
Thank you. Nice to be here with you, Jack.
I'm going to mention again, tonight at 5 o'clock, Julie Pruchinski and Pam Duquette are on the air with an assortment of wacky holiday tunes. Pam made it her mission to find things that have not been played on KRFY before. She was not 100% successful. Some of them we did have and do play, but she did a pretty good job. There's some brand
crazy
new stuff.
Crazy Christmas.
Crazy Christmas, yeah. So that's at 5 o'clock tonight. And again, on Christmas Eve, we've got a whole run, a whole assortment of holiday programming. Terry Nobody will be putting on his Christmas Carol hat and doing his 2 hours of holiday music from 4 to 6, and then the Holiday Spectacular from 6 to 8. And there's more. And also, I'm sure many of our syndicated shows, musical shows, are getting into the holiday spirit this weekend. So tune in to KRFY. We're starting to pepper in a little bit more holiday music into our mix as well. Did you know that we play a lot of different Christmas songs during and not just Christmas songs, we have Hanukkah songs and other just kind of winter themed or mm-hmm. other holidays, but we only play each of them, I believe, once during.
Really?
So we have a whole stack of Christmas songs. We throw them into Otto's eclectic mix, but then once they play one time during December, We don't play them again until next year.
So not Jingle Bell Rock over and over, and not what's the Mariah Carey song? That's so.
Yeah. So if you heard that once, then you probably heard it for the last time. Although there's sometimes, like, you know, there's many different versions, of course. Even like even Bing Crosby's White Christmas, I think he recorded that 5 or 6 times. So, and you know, different eras. So that you'll kind of hear some of the same stuff again, but not the exact same track. Won't appear more than once during the holiday season. So at least you get a little bit of variety for those of you who are not fond of the Christmas tunes. It's 9 o'clock, means it's time for Bird Note. There is lots going on in town.
Check the reader. Check Sandpoint Online.
Yeah. Check the bee. Let's see. We got David Da Vinci, the Thrillusionist, is returning to the Panada Theater tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Doors open an hour ahead of time for that. We have a music conservatory performance. The music conservatory is putting on Joy to the World on Saturday, December 20th. This is a winter wonderland of sound with a Christmas concert featuring the graceful harmony of piano and violin. That's at 6:30 on Saturday night. And they're also putting on Amal and the Night Visitors. That's another music conservatory presentation, but it's not at the conservatory. This will be at the First Lutheran Church and the Bel Canto production of Amahl and the Night Visitors, Menotti's cherished children's opera. And you can find tickets online through sandpointconservatory.org. It's the annual holiday party, oh my goodness, today at the Bonner County Historical Society from 5 to 6:30 p.m. And it's out at the Sandpoint Organic Agricultural Center. So you can check that if you're looking for a reason
That's
to go
the
out
museum
there.
Museum party, is it the Ag Center?
Yes.
Okay.
The Historical Society is meeting out at the Ag Center, which is out on
That's such a cool building.
It is. I know. I should get more use, and I'm glad to see that they're in there. I think that's a great place for a holiday party.
Yep.
There is more. There's more going on, but it's one of the busiest times of year for everybody. There's lots of events going on in town every night, multiple things going on, and so
farmers market over at the library tomorrow.
Hey,
our Saturday. On Saturday. I'm sorry, Saturday. Yep. Yeah.
There you have
crafts
it.
And food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It's time for Bird Note. Thanks for listening to KRFY. And I'll mention also next week, I don't think on Wednesday and Thursday, we won't have a new morning show. I know on Thursday, Jim has selected an hour of his favorite holiday music, and he's got excellent taste. It's going to be a little somewhat traditional, but also, you know, probably some things that are not in the regular holiday mix at your house. So that'll be 8 o'clock on Thursday, Christmas Day. And we're also I'm trying to line up somebody who will come in on to talk to us on New Year's Day the following week to talk, maybe somebody from the Boy Scouts. We can talk about the Polar Plunge. That's my plan.
Oh,
but that's tentative. Anyway, for a couple weeks here, the morning show is going to be slightly interrupted as we come to the end of the year.
Absolutely.
But we'll still be on the air. It won't be dead air.
It'll be something. Sounds good.
Thanks, Carrie.
Uh-huh.